Thank
Thanks
you.
very much.
Thank you, MD. We now like to start off the question and answer session with some of the questions that were posted in the chat. First question is for you, Harry. Do you have any information on how freight transportation improvements, either capital or operational, could impact total cost of ownership and thus a company's decision to reshore? Harry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I forgot to mute again. The wanted to emphasize first that reshoring is both having the company's own facility move back and also the outsourcing of product. And substantially, it's the outsourcing. And often, when you sometimes it's just outsourcing the individual product components that you're already need now for the assembly you have, and other times it's outsourcing. Might even be outsourcing the complete product. So there can be an awful lot of the suppliers involved in this decision. So we don't want to just focus on the assembly plant. But when you come to this, the question, when we do total cost of ownership, it starts with the manufacturing cost of the product. Purchase price of the product, whatever you call it, the manufacturer will call it standard cost. So to the extent that freight cost is embedded in that cost, it's already included in the total cost. And any improvements in the freight infrastructure, anything reduce the cost of moving product here to there, would reduce that cost and therefore make the U.S. relatively more competitive. In our model, we include freight from the port of exit of the other country, like the most common port in China, for example, to Chicago. So it takes the product all the way from there to Chicago. And we do not include the U.S. freight costs because we assume that the freight from Chicago to where you want it to go is roughly the same as from a U.S. factory to where you want it to go. We let those things balance off. One thing that we do not include, and perhaps should, I've been told twice in the last week or two that the freight costs inland China are substantial. That there's costs, and I've been told corruption in terms of getting product in. Sometimes you have to pay taxes to get it between different provinces or states in China. And so what would probably help a lot is if anybody has any data on that, on what it costs to get product from, 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 miles inland in China to the ports, because then I could start to add that factor into the total cost. So anything you can do that reduces the cost here in the U.S. will obviously help. It'll go into that starting price. Anything you could tell me that would help me model the cost of freight in China getting to the port, or if you headed for India, that'd be the other major countries, that'd be great too, because then we could add that as an additional factor in the analysis and show the difference between that and the U.S. That's the answer.
Thank you, Harry. Our next question, what kind of impacts do state right-to-work laws have on companies' decisions to reshore to the U.S.? And if they do, where companies will reshore in the U.S.?
Again, this is Harry. I might as well start on that. And we think it's obvious that the combination of right-to-work laws and relatively lower wages and lower taxes in the Southeast and Texas have driven a lot of the major reshoring decisions. So especially for the Greenfield decision, the 1,000-person, 2,000-person factory, almost all of those have gone into the Southeast of Texas, and it's right to work, it's wage rates, taxes, it's that whole combination of factors. So yes, it's very important.
This is Andy. I'd like to also add on that one. We are also trying to identify what are the different states in the U.S. that provide tax incentives, incentives for research and development, and capital investment tax breaks and see whether that's going to be impacting on the reshoring when the people are bringing. So we are in the process of evaluating those factors and collecting some data.
And this is Harry. I can comment on that. That our observation is that the incentives that the states provide or the cities provide make the difference between whether the factory goes into Alabama or Georgia, but do not make the primary economic decision of coming back to China or India to the United States, because the factors that make that influence that decision are generally larger, and you have, for example, you still have so much wage cost to overcome, wage gap to overcome, that any incentive that politically the state could get away with giving away wouldn't be enough to make it happen. But you have to have all these other costs, the freight and the innovation, all these other factors, the carrying cost inventory, finally, I think are more important than the incentives. But all, since all those factors are equal everywhere in the U.S., roughly equal, then the incentives make the difference, as I said, between which state the factory goes into.
Thank you both. Our next question, is there any information about greenfield, brownfield, grayfield location choices for reshoring facilities? Thank you. Our next question, has either speaker studied or marketed reshoring as a way manufacturers and other shippers can shrink their carbon footprints? The 250 shipper and 500 logistics partners who participate in SmartWay would certainly see that as a selling point. SmartWay tools will quantify marine vessel emissions as of 2016. They currently cover truck, rail, multimodal, barge, and air.
There we go. I'll take the first shot at that. I didn't know this existed, so I've learned as much in this webinar now as you have, and I appreciate you, Abby putting that in. We have taken a first shot at the green implications. When you go to the TCO estimator, you'll find that there are three factors about green. Emissions, pollution, disposal of excess inventory, things like that. So there are three green factors. We have not been able to create the algorithms to quantify those factors. We had a team from graduate students at The Ohio State University that was working on that for us, and we have a first start at that. It's one of our projects to complete. There's a big difference in the electricity. The electricity in China is largely coal. Here it's even if it is coal, it's much cleaner. And so just making a part in China, clearly the electricity is dirtier. And many, but not all the factories over there are less disciplined in their treatment of pollution. So that's an important factor. And a lot of that pollution gets over to the U.S. and comes right across the Pacific. In addition, the container ships don't release much carbon emissions because they're amazingly efficient in terms of amount per ton mile, but they do release some other undesirable chemicals because of using the bunker fuel. This is what I've read. And therefore, it's not all carbon footprint, it's the total environmental impact. So we plan to start up that again and eventually be able to quantify that into the total cost so that the company can see environmental impact is in their offshore, reshore decision?
Yeah, in our case, we are only focusing on some factors that can influence, not the carbon footprint, that's for sure. Yeah, that's not in our scope.
Harry, if anybody has anything to offer on that, if you have any studies, if you can help us quantify, I'd love to hear from you. And if Abby can introduce me to the EPA group that's done this, to help me get in with them and work with them, I'd really appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. Next question. What impacts is increasing port congestion due to labor issues, capacity constraints, or slow streaming having on reshoring or near shoring attractiveness to companies?
This is Cindy. I would like to correct it first. So what we're doing is like one of the factories, you know, the lead time, how long it takes coming from China to U.S., and then also how long it takes to process through the ports. So, you know, if one of the reasons that we are bringing operations back to U.S. is to cut down the time. And if there are some ports that have, you know, excessively long lead time to process the product, then that could be an advantage when, you know, companies are reshoring. So, yes, we are considering that time in terms of the lead time.
And this is Harry. We, in our TCO estimator, we include one of the inputs is the shipping time from the factory to the destination, and that goes, it gets used to calculate the carrying cost of the inventory, for example, and also it would be used in this cost differential frontier that I described to calculate the impact that they are calculating. So we already do our best to consider it. As I mentioned, the West Coast dock dispute was a major, we described it as a teachable moment that companies that were maybe borderline thinking about reshoring, if that didn't wake them up, nothing I could tell them that would. So it finally comes down to, is it better to have, some say you should put all your eggs, don't put all your eggs in one basket, or maybe you should put all your eggs in one basket and take good care of the basket. So if you have your supply chain spread out across the world and you have 100 components coming in, one from each country, and there's a chance of disruption on any one of them, and they're all single sourced, you can get shut down by one event in one of 100 places. Whereas if you have everything being produced within 50 miles of your assembly plant, then it's only the event that happens there that can shut you down. The events that happen around the world are irrelevant. So you're better in that sense to have your locality be your egg basket, take really good care of that egg basket, and get your probability of going down or being impacted by natural disasters or things like the dock dispute or dramatically reduced.
Thank you both. Well, as we wrap up the questions from the chat, I'd also like to open up the phone lines. If you have a question for our presenters over the phone, please press star 1 on your touchtone keypad to be put into the queue. Our next question from the chat pod, and one of your, I believe this is to MD, in one of your final maps, you show a thick gray line from Prince Rupert, British Columbia to Chicago representing freight tonnage via CN. However, similar freight rail corridors linking West Coast ports to Chicago, such as Seattle, Tacoma to Chicago via BNSF, LA, Long Beach to Chicago via BNSF, and also UP, are not shown. Can you please clarify what it is you are measuring in this graphic? Thank you.
Actually, this is a part of the research we finished, and maybe not relevant to this particular one, reshoring, but I would like to show that, okay, what we are trying to identify. So in this particular one, we are trying to build some scenarios. And one of the scenarios are, okay, so if Prince Rupert port were expanded by 2019 or 2020, then what could be the impact on transpiration? For the particular phase, we found that, okay, if the expansion is over, then we would see more flows coming from Prince Rupert to Chicago market rather than the other ports in the U.S. So again, this is a hypothetical situation, what will happen in 2020 once the Prince Rupert port was expanded.
Thank you, MD. Our next question, have you taken into consideration third-party bidding practices used by corporations on the total cost of ownership?
So this is Harry. I'm assuming they mean third-party bidding on outsourced manufacturing, or do they mean third-party bidding on transportation? So I'm going to assume it's for now that it's production, and that's reflected already in the pricing that's used in the total cost of ownership calculation as the starting point. If I'm wrong, so it is taken into consideration. If I'm wrong, then tell me what you mean, and I'll do my best to answer.
Glenn is typing into the chat pod right now. While we wait for his response, let's move on to the next question, and we will come back to Glenn's question. Are the factors driving company decisions to reshore or nearshore different based on the value and time sensitivity or perishability of the goods being considered for reshoring?
Considering those factors.
Thank you both. So we do have some clarification from Glenn. He says third-party bidding to procure the product in some cases did not include the cost of transportation. Thank you. At this time, that's all the questions that we have in the chat pod. We'll give it another minute to give people an opportunity to type in their questions. In addition, I'll remind everybody that if you would like to ask a question over the phone, please press star 1 on your touch tone keypad. We do have another question.
Yeah.
What impacts do fuel prices have on company reshoring initiatives, especially for cost-sensitive, low-value goods? Or are labor costs still the dominant factor when examining the feasibility of reshoring low-value, transportation cost-sensitive goods?
What we are doing is one of the factors for our case was the energy cost. So the energy cost, especially in the U.S., is going down. That is that will have a positive impact on the reshoring decision and vice versa. So yes, we are doing some of those things, and this energy cost is going to be towards the transportation cost as well. And also the energy cost towards manufacturing those goods. So we are considering in this two front, if the energy cost goes down, how that's going to be impacting the transportation cost as well as the manufacturing cost.
And I can quantify it a little bit in that the energy perspective, the shale gas, the fact that natural gas is so cheap here and oil a little bit cheaper, is a huge advantage in some industries. So our natural gas cost is maybe one third of what it is in Asia or almost anywhere except for the Middle East. And so for an industry for which natural gas is a raw material, so for chemical industries, polyethylene, polypropylene, these kinds of things that lead on to plastics and fertilizers, it's an overwhelming factor, and that's why we've had a commitment of something like $140 billion worth of refineries to process natural gas. So it just attracted most of the investment, I think, in those fields into the United States. And that's wonderful. And then there it's overwhelming. When you step away from that to natural gas being extensively used for heat, steel, things like that, then it's important. But if you get to just machining and wire harness making and things like that, on the average, energy is reported to be 2% of total cost, and therefore it's a nice to have. If our energy costs are half as much as somewhere else, it's a nice to have, but it's therefore worth 1%. Whereas labor cost has cost a 20% or 30% differential, so it's not enough by itself. The least recently lower oil prices certainly has hurt freight costs. I saw a graph yesterday with freight costs from Europe to Asia to Europe, I think, were below the cost of the fuel to get the boat there. Something very horrible like that. And so lower oil certainly eliminates one barrier and makes reshoring harder to do. Those are my thoughts.
Thank you both. We have one last question in the chat pod. Do companies that reshore leave flexibility to offshore again if the total cost of ownership balances back to overseas production?
Now, I break that down into two pieces. One, if they're outsourcing, that makes maybe a couple more than that. If the product that's being made is only for the U.S., and if they're outsourcing, they probably come back here and they just outsource it. If it's being made for the U.S. and they have their own factory over there, then what we would recommend them doing is probably to sell the product in Asia and keep that factory running, selling in Asia, and invest back here to supply the U.S. market. So we have a sort of a hierarchy of things to do. First, for a company, they say, what to do? We say, if anything that has not yet been offshore, do the homework before you offshore, because it's the hardest thing is to bring it back. Second is, if it's outsourced, go after them, because there's no capital investment, no layoffs, none of those political problems, no big investment. Third, if you're producing offshore, maybe you're 50% for Asia, 50% shipped to the U.S., convert that to 90% Asia, 10% U.S., do your investments here. The toughest thing is when you have a factory over there to shut it down and bring everything back here. We know most companies aren't going to do it. They don't want to bite that bullet. going to release it.
And we try to capture those things through the proximity to market. So if you are, if your market base is here, then you know, you will get an advantage when you do the reshoring. If your market base is way from the manufacturing facility, that also is an advantage.
Thank you both. At this time, I'd like to thank everyone for attending today's seminar. The recorded version of the event will be available within the next few weeks on the Talking Freight website. In keeping with today's subject matter, the next seminar will be held on August 19th, and the topic is tentatively scheduled to be Supply Chain Needs and Industrial Site Selection Decisions. Registration is not yet available, but I will send out a notice through the Freight Planning Listserv announcing the topic and the availability of registration. I encourage you to join the Freight Planning Listserv if you have not done so already. And that concludes today's webinar. Thank you very much.
So what do you think there, Brent?